Today's daf is Bava Metzia daf Kuf Yud. Now we are 17 lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Tes Amid Beis Gufa. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu Bnei Yisrael Hanasuna Batzaru Vashiv. So we're moving along in the ninth perek of Meseches Bava Metzia, perek Hamekabel Sada Mechaveroi, which deals with the laws related to a Mekabel Sada Mechaveroi. Specifically, the end of yesterday's daf talked about a shasla. A shasla was somebody that was a professional gardener, but his job was not just to work and to cultivate the field, but to actually plant the trees and the different things that grew inside the field. And it was mavur in the Gemara that the traditional shasla, the agreement was that he would come, he would plant something in this otherwise vacant piece of land. Additionally, he would agree to work it in the same way that an aris and a choyka would agree to work it. Now, the shasla was doing more than the aris was, and as a result, it's understood that he's entitled to a bigger cut of any income that this field is going to generate. So, for example, if the aris were to take a third of whatever income it is that this field produced, the shasla, because of the additional effort that he put into this field, would take more than a third. He would take 50%. Additionally, the Gemara talked about what happens if the shasla at some point decides that he no longer wants to work this property. Now, it's not fair to simply say that being that you're not working moving forward, as a result, you're not going to get a cut of the income, because in contrast to the aris, whose job it is to work the field year over year, the shasla is a shutif in everything that this field is ever going to produce because of the fact that he planted and he, on some level, created what it is that the field has. So it's for that reason it was understood that if the shasla wants to walk away, there has to be a buyout. And the Gemara brought a memra from Rab Minyumi Berei de Rab Nechumi, who said that in the event that the shasla is going to walk away, you have to be hypersensitive to make sure that you come up with the proper formula and algorithm to figure out how much the buyout should be. Now, to be clear, you can't say that moving forward, you're going to continue to get the 50%. Number one, mechatesi, that was predicated on an understanding that you're going to work the field and you're not working the field anymore. Additionally, me as the landowner is going to have to hire an aris where I'm going to have to give him that third cut. So I'm going to give you 50%, I'm going to give him 33%. Ich bin auch ein Mamazakin. What am I going to be left with? So it doesn't make sense. And really what emerged from the end of yesterday's daf is that what you do in a situation like that is you give the shasla a revia. You give him a quarter. And there was a little bit of a discussion in the Gemara how you cheshbin the quarter. Do you first give the aris a third and then from your two-thirds that you're left with, you give a quarter? Do you give him a quarter from the top? That was discussed in the end of yesterday's daf. Today's daf is going to begin with a repeat of Rab Minyumi Bereb Nerab Nechumi's halacha. In fact, if you look in the Rishonim speak out that although the Gemara is about to repeat this halacha, the Gemara is not going to add any additional information that we didn't see yesterday. So really, the Gemara is just going to bring it as a Maimra Musker. Why then is it being mentioned? It's because the Gemara then is going to bring another halacha that Rab Minyumi Bereb Rab Nechumi said. This is a halacha that we did not see in yesterday's daf. So as a segue to the second halacha, we chazed the first halacha and we bring the two halachas that Rab Minyumi Bereb Rab Nechumi said as this little set of two halachas, me'inyan le'inyan ba'isa inyan, very much related to the same topic. Either way, gufa, Amar Rab Minyumi Bereb Rab Nechumi, ba'asru the shakl shasla palgavar risa tilsa, if you live in a town where the shasla's typical arrangement is that he takes 50% of whatever this field produces, and the aris takes a third of whatever it is this field produces. Hai shasla the boy is taluke. If you have a shasla who wants to go away from the field, yavina le shvache umisalkina le. So you give him a percentage of the future earnings, and that's the buyout. Kihechi delay lifts it balabais. And you do it in a way where the balabais is not going to lose out, meaning you try to come up with some fear formula so that everyone is going to get what's coming their way. Again, this was the Chazara memra of Rab Minyumi Bereid Rab Nechumi. The second halacha that he said was Om Rab Minyumi Bereid Rab Nechumi. Koifa Saba palga. What happens if a shasla plants, Rashi says, a gefen, a vineyard, and then the vineyard got old, and as a result, it's not producing peiros anymore. So what are you going to do with the vineyard? You're going to chop it down, and you're going to use this meiros and the wood for whatever you can use for it. Obviously, it's not as valuable as if it was actually producing grapes and wine, but at the same time, you're going to use it for whatever you're supposed to use it for. So in the event that this happens, so the halacha is palka. The shasla takes his regular 50% cut, meaning the shasla is entitled to 50% of whatever this field produces. A koifa saba, a gefen that got old, is considered peiros, and as a result, you get 50%. Just to speak out what the chiddush is the actual kerem considered a peiri, or maybe the actual kerem is considered the kerem? The arrangement and the agreement that the shasla has together with the landowner is that any peiros that this kerem produces, the shasla is going to get 50%. Okay, that's a fruit, so a grape or wine, that he's going to get 50% of. But here, what we're discussing is the actual kerem. It got old, it aged, you chopped it down, it's not producing anymore. So do we view that as a peri? Do we not view that as a peri? So that's the chiddush. The chiddush is that we view this koifa sabla, we view this old gefen as if it were peiros, and it's for that reason this shasla is going to be entitled to 50%. Now Rashi, when he explains this gemara, he adds a few words. He says, "The kivan do urcha bahachi ataita dahachi nachas." That the reason we view this old gefen as peiros is because everything young, if it's fortunate enough, at some point will become old. And it's for that reason we view this as the natural course of what was supposed to happen, so that when the shasla got involved initially, his cheshbon was like this: I'm going to plant this kerem. I know it's going to produce, and I'm going to take 50% of whatever it is produces. I also know that at some point it's going to get old, and when it gets old, you're going to have no choice but to chop it down and sell it. And in my mind, I'm taking 50% of that as well. So Rashi adds a very important knach in the Havan of the Gemara, that the reason we're treating this koifa saba as being peiros is really based on the das of the shaslin. In his mind, this is the way he thought it was going to play itself out, and it's for that reason he gets his 50% as if it were peiros. Shotfa nahara river. What would happen if the kerem is not producing peiros anymore? But it's not because of the natural progression of the kerem, but rather something out of the ordinary happened. Shotfa nara. The nar overflowed and it damaged, it uprooted the zmoiros, and it was this act of God that suddenly devalued this kerem tremendously. But the point is that now you have the kerem itself, not the peiros, but it didn't happen in the natural progression. It happened because something out of the ordinary took place. So in that case, we don't say adaita dahachi yarad, because it wasn't adaita dahachi. You don't have the svara that you have regarding the koifa saba, and it's for that reason over here he doesn't get palga. What does he get? He gets riva. We treat him as if he walked away, and as we saw in yesterday's daf, if he walks away instead of getting 50%, if that was the custom, we cut it in half, we only give him a quarter. That is what he is going to get in this case as well. So though he really didn't walk away, right, it's not mamish like the gemara's in the end yesterday's daf, but we treat it that way because at the end of the day, it wasn't a dait to the hachi, and that's why he only gets a river. Says the Gemara, who gave it? There was a person, the mashkin pardes lechavri lesen shnei. He gave his pardes as a mashkin to his friend for 10 years. So we're dealing with a malva and a loiva. The malva lends money to the loiva. The malva requests a mashkin in return. The loiva had a vineyard, and that was the mashkin that he gave. And the deal was that the malva was going to hold on to this pardes for 10 years, and anything that it was going to produce, he was going to be able to eat. This is what's known as a mashkanta de surah, which the Gemara talked about in Perikei Zeuneshech and elsewhere. It doesn't violate ribbis, and the reason it doesn't violate ribbis is because although it's possible that the malva is going to end up getting more than what he gave the loiva, but being that a certain amount of the loan gets amortized every single year, and the truth is you don't know if the peiros that you're going to eat is going to be equal to, more than, or less than, so there's a huge element of risk over here. Chazal viewed it not as a typical repayment of a loan, and it's for that reason there's no ribbis problem. But the point is, the agreement was that the loiva is going to post a pardes as a mashkin to the malva, and for 10 years he's going to be able to eat any peiros, and then everyone is going to be even. Either way, the kashal chamishanin, and after 5 years, the pardes aged to the point where it's no longer producing. Now Rashi adds a very important knech, ubizmanoi shahayuroi lekach, meaning it then all of a sudden boli dezik, no? But this was the natural progression, meaning it was understood, the surveyors, the environmentalists, all the chachamim and this Indian told them, yeah, this has a lifespan really of 5 years. So it's interesting. They agreed on 10 years, but really, they sort of knew that it only had a lifespan of 5 years, regardless. The shaila is, what do you do now with this paradise? What's the shaila? The shaila is, do you view this paradise that's old, it's not producing anymore, as peiros? Thus, as part of this mashkanta desura arrangement, the malva is going to be able to benefit from it. Or maybe we view it instead as being the underlying keren, and he has no right to be mechalya the keren. That wasn't the deal. The deal was that the malva gets to eat the peiros. So it was a machloikis, abaya and rav. Abaya, abaya says peir, habi, we view it as peiros. And as a result, the malva can take it, rav, on the keren, habi. Rav says, we look at it as keren, v'yulokich by karka. So what you do is, you now take this keren that's not producing anymore, you sell it, you buy a piece of property that produces peiros, v'oichel peiros, and then the malva is going to be able to continue eating peiros the way it was. Meaning, you can't just walk away from the mashkanta to surah. But the point is, can you view the etzem keren as being peiros or not? That was a machloikis abaye v'rov. Freit digmar meisvei, I'll ask you a kasha. Yavesh ha'ilon. What happens if there was a tree that dried up, or this tree was cut down? Now, the context over here is, again, b'mashkanta koyzak rashi. We're dealing with a malva and a loiva. The loiva gave the malva an ilon, and the ilon produces peiros, and the malva is going to eat from the peiros, and that's how he's going to get payment for this loan. In the meantime, the ilon dried up, or the ilon got chopped down. So the halacha is, shnei masurim boy, none of them are allowed to simply go ahead and take the wood. Okay, keitzad yasu, what should they do? Yimachru le'etzim, you sell it for wood, v'yilokich bem karka, and then with the proceeds you buy karka, v'hu oichel peiros, and the halacha is that the malva, who's holding onto the mashkin, is going to be able to eat peiros. Now at first glance, before we even go weiter, it sounds literally like Rav Ashita. And if that's the case, it's checkmate on Abaya. That's going to be the Gemara's kasha. But before the Gemara asks the kasha, it's going to jump through one hoop. And that is, although we had a machloikas Abaya v'Rava, what do you do in a situation where all of a sudden the karam dries up? It was clear, at least the way Rashi explained it, based on the hemshech of the Gemara, that the machloikas Abaya v'Rava was talking about a case where it was hiskin bizmanoi. So if it was hiskin bizmanoi, then we have a machloikas Abaya v'Rava, or more acutely, then we have a shitas abaya, that abaya says if it happens bizmanoi, then we view this as being peiros. Very similar to koifa saba, Rab Minyumi Breit Rab Nechumi's second halach in the previous Gemara, that when it happens in the natural course of business, so then we view it as being peiros. But if something would happen prematurely, then abaya would have never said as halach. So the only time abaya says that we view this Elon, this karen that can't produce anymore is being a peri, is if it happened naturally. So that's part of the production of this field. But if it happened prematurely, then we don't view it that way. So really, in order to ask a kasha from this halacha on abaya, we would first have to establish that yavisha elon or niktas is talking about where it happened in the natural course of business. So the Gemara says like this, my love, yavishtum yad niktas. I think at first glance it would seem that this is all talking about where it happened naturally. Do I know that? Because it says Yovish and Niktsas. And Yovish is probably similar to Niktsas. And man Niktsas Bismanoi. For sure, Niktsas is Bismanoi. Af Yovish Bismanoi. Yovish is also Bismanoi. Now, how do you know Niktsas is Bismanoi? Maybe it was cut down Shaloi Bismanoi. So Rashi says nobody does that. So because nobody does that, for sure, Niktsas in this halacha is talking about Bismanoi. And if that's the case, Yovish is probably also talking about Bismanoi. And what do you see from here? You see that the halacha is Viktoni Yulokach Bem Karka Vahu Oichel Peiros Al Makarne Havi. So you see clearly that it's karen. It's a raya to Rava. So again, the Gemara's kasha is this b'risa is mefurish Rava, but we're just adding one knech. We're just adding that we know for sure the b'risa is talking about where it happened shaloi bizmanai. That happened bizmanai. How do I know that it happened bizmanai? Because niktsas is for sure bizmanai, and if niktsas is for sure bizmanai, then it's mistabe that Yovich would also be bizmanai. Tosfos adds one knech in pshat in the Gemara, and that is that the reason the Gemara was a little insecure about Yovich being bizmanai, meaning you have no raya, it's bizmanai, but the Gemara actually thought you have a little bit of a raya that it's shaloi bizmanai. And the reason is because Tosfos says, grammatically, if Yovish means bizmanai, then the Lashon wouldn't have been Yovish. The Lashon would have been Hiskin, it got old. Yovish sounds like it just dried up prematurely in Esrik HaYovish. That's a little bit what it sounds like. And it's for that reason the Gemara needs a knitch, not just to prove, but lohitzi mi libon, don't think that it's shaloi bismani. It's for sure talking about bismani. Either way, so if this Bryce is talking about bismani, it's a direct comparable to the case of Abaye v'Rava, and it's Mefurashitas Rava, but the Gemara says, no, there's no raya. Loi, I can tell you, nixas dumya de yavish. Maybe really yavish means what it sounds like it means, and that is shaloi bismani. I, doesn't yavish and nixas have to be dumya? Yeah. Yovish is shaloi bismanoi, and nixas is dumya de yovish. My yovish b'lo yismanoi, just like yovish is b'lo yismanoi, because that's actually what the word sounds like it means. Af nixas b'lo yismanoi, so to nixas is b'lo yismanoi. So sitting on our tashma, I'll bring you another raya. Naflu lo gefanim, v'zeisim skenim. So we're talking about a married woman whose father died, and she just yarshined nechasim. And included in those nechasim were gefanim, vineyards, and zeisim, olive trees, zekenim, that were ready old. Now, what's the halacha when a woman yarshin something? It's nechsim alug. She owns the karen, but the baal is oichel peiris. So what do you do with these gefanim and zeisim that are ready old? Meaning, they can't produce peiris anymore. So the question is, what do you do with it? Says the Mishnah, yimachru le'etzim, you sell them for their wood, you buy property, and he's going to eat the pears. What's the kasha? So top line in Rashi. You see from here that the way we view gefanim and seisim skenim as being karna. Why the e-peira havi? Because if we view them as being peiris, the way who viewed them? The way Abaya viewed them, hotikirabon and peiris labal. So then the halach is the husband should automatically get it. If it's peiris, then the husband should automatically get it. Now the husband doesn't automatically get it. What we do is we sell it, we convert it to karka, and she keeps the karen and he gets the peiris. Now, when you have peiris nechsem aluk, that's not what you do. The only reason we're doing this is because we're trying to satisfy and straddle the karen and the peiris. Now, this doesn't produce peiris. So how are you going to be able to do that? The way you're going to be able to do that is by selling it, buying karka that does produce peiris. But if you're going to tell me that kfanim and seisim skenim are in and of themselves peiris, then the husband should just take the whole thing. And why we have this conversation, Elamai, it's a raya to Rava that Snez Gfanim and Seisim Skenim are viewed as Karen, not viewed as Peris. It's another Kashan Abaya, says the Gemara. Emo, you have to say Vihiskinu. Rashi, Kovtzalein Zikna Beloizmanim. Again, the only time we have a Tzushtal to the Machlekes of Ayver Rava is if the Zikna happened in the appropriate time. But if it's Kovtzalein Zikna Beloizmanim, then it's not a Tzushtal like we just said. The whole Shitas Abai is when it happens in the ordinary course of life. But if it, something out of the ordinary happens, Avad Abai is going to be Maita. Loilam, that's what was going on over here. Meaning, although it says Naflo Kfanim Viskenim, Vizesim Zakenim, you have to say the case was, it was Naflu Kfanim Vizesim Vizkino. Oh, Vizkino, it got old and it got old prematurely. This already has nothing to do with the Machlis of Ayav Rav. If Ibe are you saying, or you could say, Lav Mioi Kimna Lahiki Gunch Naflu Basada Acheres Achakal Yakarna. Didn't Chazal already make an Akimta? Rashi says, where's this Akimta? Mesechtes Ksubis and Periko Isha Shenaflu. But over there, Chazal already made the Akimta for a different reason that we're talking about, where these Kfanim and Skenim, that the woman Yarshin, she actually Yarshin somebody else's field. So she didn't Yarshin a field that had Kfanim and Zaysim that was the Kenim inside of it. But rather she inherited only the Kfanim and the Zaysim Skenim in a different field. In that case, if he's going to go ahead and he's going to take the Paris, there's no question in the world that that's not okay. And the reason is the Chakalya Karno, because then he's being Mechalya the Karen. Meaning the husband can never take the Paris to the extent that it's destroying the Karen. Over here, even if you want to view it as Paris, the way a buyer usually views Kfanim and Seisim Skenim, but if the husband's going to take the Paris, there'll be no Karen anymore. And that's already not okay. So you can't take the Paris, Bechai Gavdin, where it's Mechalya the Karen. Over here, all there is these peiris, because it's in somebody else's field. Thus, if he's going to take the peiris, it's going to be Mechai, the Karen. Over here, Abaya is going to be Moida. So Abaya only said his halacha where the Gefanim and the Zeisim Skenim are attached to a respective field. So the field is the Karen, and the Gefanim and the Zeisim Skenim are viewed as peiris. But if the Gefanim and the Zeisim Skenim are in somebody else's field, so that's all you have, there's another issue of being Mechai, the Karen. Either way, the Gemara said you can be Miyashiv, Shitas Abaya, from this Mishnah here in Perikah Isha Shanaf. Zok the Gemara Vaita. So the Gemara is going to digress a little bit, and the truth is, this daf gemara that we're going to learn right now, from a daf yomi perspective, the daf goes fairly quickly, stating that, as will be very, very evident, this daf has in it Dvarim Ha'imdim Beruma Shalayla. And the truth is, underrated, this daf is really a daf that requires an asterisk as it relates to sugyas, related to sveikis and chazakos, specifically in the world of mammon. So whenever you think of this inyan, there's certain dafin that come to mind, many of them in Maseches Bava Metzia. Bava Metzia Kofei is probably not the first daf that you're going to think of, but the truth is, after learning the Gemara that we're about to learn, it's going to be pretty obvious that this has Tukfu Koyin vibes. Either way, says the Gemara, not so intimidating. There was a shtar, Shinin Stam. So we're dealing again, says Rashi, with a Mashkanta Desura. There was a Malva, there was a Loiva. The Malva loaned money to the Loiva. The Loiva gave the Malva a Mashkin. The Mashkin was a field. The arrangement was the Mashkanta Desura, that the Malva was going to be able to eat the pay rights for a certain amount of time. Every year, a certain amount of this loan gets amortized. And then once the years of the pay rights are concluded, they call it even. So says the Gemara, there was a shtar that discussed this Mashkanta Desura. And it said in it that the Malva is going to be able to benefit from this field for shnin, for years. But didn't say how many years. Says the Gemara, Malva Amashalish, and all of a sudden there was a he said. There was a dispute. The Malva said that the amount of years was 3 years. Loiva Amashtayim, and the Loiva said it was 2 years. It just said years. It doesn't say how many years. The Malva says, no, I get 3 years out of it. The Loiva says, you get 2 years out of it. Either way, cut the Malva Vachlinu Lepeiri. In the meantime, while they're fighting it out and they're going through the legal system, the Malva was sitting on this field and he continued to eat Paris. Meaning he ended up eating a full third year of Paris. Now they finally stand in front of a judge and a jury, and the question is, mean that one? Who's going to be believed? So again, there's a Mashkanta Desura. It says for years. How many years? We don't know. The Loiva says, it's only 2 years. I get it back after 2 years. The Malva says, it's 3 years. The Malva already ate the third year. That's the case. So Rabbi Huda says, "Karka becheskes balei kayemes." To me, it's a sofik moment. What do you do when you have a sofik moment? Zek klal golda, but then I'm oitzem echaveri olive raya. Who's the muchzik? The loiv is the muchzik because he's the one that owns the field. As a result, the Malva, you have to bring a raya. Otherwise, you have to make this guy whole for the third year of peiros that year. Rav Kana says, "Peiros becheskes echleim kaimi." Rav Kana says, "No, he already ate the peiros, and being that he already ate the peiros, and now he's the muchzik. Meaning, you want to know who owns the field? Yeah, the loiv owns the field." But we're handling now the payers of the third year, and I'm the muchzik in the payers of the third year. V'haraya, they're in my mugin. I ate it already. So certainly I'm the one that has it, and as a result, if you want me to make you whole and you want to slap money out of me, you're the hamoitzim echaveroi, and it's olav araya to prove that that's the halacha. Says the Gemara, v'hilchus kavase to Rav Kahana, the halacha is like Rav Kahana. We go right to the bottom line, the amma peres v'cheskos haklayim kaimi, that we look at the malva as being the muchzik, being that he already ate. Afraid the Gemara, how could that be? Is that true? We look at the malva as being the muchzik and not the leiv of a kaimi, and the hilchus kavase to Rav Nachman. We know the halacha is like Rav Nachman. That's stamma maimra musgir. And specifically, we pass like Rav Nachman in this particular halacha, the amma, who said, karka becheskos in a very, very similar case. Now, what was this similar case? Rashi says, we just had this last week. It was L'il Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis. The case over there was where somebody rented a merchetz from somebody else. He's a soicher, and he rented it for a year. And the contract read as follows. The contract read that the soicher is going to pay Shneim Aser Zuhuvim L'shana. He's going to pay 12 Zuhuvim for the year, Dinar Zav L'chaydesh, which amounts, simple math, to one dinar per month. Now, the question is, in an ibiyar, what's the halacha? And that was a big machlikas amiron. And Rav Nachman said, karka becheskes baleo oimedes, that at the end of the day, the masker is the one that owns it. And as a result, if it's an ibiyar, even if the soich already was there the 13th month, right? You always pay rent at the end of the month. So he was there at the end of the month. But afal pikein, the halacha is that the masker is going to be the winner because he is the muchzik. Now this is almost a perfect tushtel to the sugi that we're learning. Right, you have a situation where there's a sofik mammon where one person is the muchzik in the underlying asset, but the other person is the muchzik in the money that we're handling right now. And the question is, what do you do? And the Gemara says, it's kasha hilchasa hilchasa. Because as it relates to the case of the Mashkanta Desura, where it just says years, doesn't say how many years, the Gemara said, hilchasa kavasa d'Rav Kahana, d'ama peiros becheskas oichleim kami. I don't care that the field belongs to the Malva. that it belongs to the loiva. What I look at is the fact that the malva is the one that ate the peiris. And yet, when it comes to the merchitz with the soicha and the masker, what do we say over there? Hilchas hakavah, say the Rav Nachman, who said, karkas b'cheskas baleo oimedes. So the Gemara says, a very interesting teretz. Hasam over there, milsa deloy avida legluyehi. As it relates to the case of the soicha, it's not a milsa da avida legluyehi. It's a milsa deloy avida legluyehi. Meaning, until tishbi yataretz kushes v'ibayis, we're not going to know what the right answer to that question is. And it's for that reason, we're not afraid to issue the psak that we want to issue, which is, karka b'cheskes b'leo emedes, sheets Rav Nachman, we always pass through Rav Nachman, that's talach. But here's the punchline. Hoch, over here, milsa da avida legluyehi. Over here, it's a milsa da avida legluyehi, because it is possible that at some point we're going to know who was right. Was the malva right or was the loiva right? Right? Somebody's lying, we don't know who. But at some point, Adam, somebody might step forward and tell us who it is that's lying. Right? The soicha and the masker, it's a shailin din. Like, how do you treat the ibayar? So there's no one that can give you information. As a result, it's not a milsa avida leguya. But over here, it's more of a dispute, right? It's a sofik bitanoisayan. It's he said, he said. So maybe someone's going to come and it's going to be mavar. Exactly who it is that's telling the truth. And being that that's the case over here, is v'atruche beidina treizim nilay metrachinam. See, we don't want to take money away from the malva, because we're afraid that we might find out later that really the loiva was telling the... that really the malva was telling the truth, and we would have to take the money from the loiva and give it back to the malva. So what Beis Din is being sensitive to over here is not taking money from someone regarding a din, and then having to go through the tercha and take money again. Atruche beidina trei zimni loy metrachinon. So really, our preferred psak would be to say karka b'cheskes baleo kayemes. But over here, our preferred psak is just leave the money where it is. And the reason is, because if we don't leave the money where it is and we schlep the money, what happens if you have to schlep it again? So you end up schlepping the money out two times. That's something that we're sensitive to. So it's a fascinating idea. Really, the way we should view it is, from the Sufik Mama perspective, is who owns the underlying asset and he should be the muchzik. That's a consideration. But it's not like a real, real, real consideration. It's a consideration when you have a Sufik Mammon, right? We spoke about this last Sunday, all the different permutations as it relates to Cheskes Mammon, Rabbi Chanan's Tudinim. But this is more like, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to leave it where it is. But if there's a Cheshbin on the other side that outweighs this Cheshbin, then we're going to go with that Cheshbin. And Atruche Beidina Trei Zimni Loi Metrachinon is a better Cheshbin, and therefore, at the end of the day, it could still satisfy Cheskes Mammon by leaving the money where it is, and that's why we're going to leave it the way it is. It says the Gemara, "Me inyan le inyan ba'is inyan malva on my chamesh loiva oim reshalish." Again, there was a situation when a malva and a loiva and a mashkanta, the surah, and there was a fight over how many years the malva is allowed to eat the peiris from this field. The malva says, "I get 5 years out of it." The loiva says, 3 years out of it. So in the previous Gemara was 3 years and 2 years. Over here, it's 5 years and 3 years. Amale, aisili shtarach. No, so the Loiva told the malva, okay, bring the shtar, right? You have a shtar that documents and proves that you're allowed to eat it. Why don't you pull out the shtar? I'm like, shtar, irchasli. He said, I lost the shtar. Chavis nisht, I don't have the shtar anymore. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, malva nem. The malva is believed that it's 5 years. Migu di boy, I'm the kuchi biyadi, because he has a migu. He could have said the kuchi biyadi, he could have said, I bought it. Now, this is really a segue into what's coming right around the corner, and that is perek cheskes habatim. So we know that loch is if somebody lives in somebody else's field for 3 years and that person never protested, that loch is, if he says the kuchi biyadi, he's believed to say that. Now, ordinarily, if somebody's living in a field that we know for sure belonged to somebody else and he says, I bought the field, what's our next move? What are we going to tell him? Really? If you bought it, produce a shtar. But after 3 years, there's a svar that it's difficult for a person to hold on to his thing. So there's like a statute of limitations of sorts. That after 3 years, you don't have to have your shtar anymore. You're neman to say irchas li shtar. So says the Gemara, in this case, where there was a dispute between the malva and the loiva, and the dispute happened when? It happened after 3 years, right? For 3 years, everyone's in agreement the malva's allowed to be there. Now afterwards, the loiva goes to the malva and he says, get out of my field. He says, no, I have it for 5 years. He says, where's the shtar? He says, I lost the shtar. He's believed to say it was 5 years. Why? Because what would be if he said, l'kuchi biyadi? That's cheskes habatim 101. he'd be believed. Ah, he has no shtar. After 3 years, you don't have to have a shtar. So says Rabbi Yehuda Geshmak. He could have said lekuchi biyadi, and he would have been believed. So he's believed to say that it's not lekucha, it's a mashkanta de suda, but it's not 3 years, it's 5 years. Somebody Rabbi Papa Rav Ashi. So Rabbi Papa told Rav Ashi, Rav Zvid Rav Avir lo yisfir lahad Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Papa is telling Rav Ashi, you should know, I have some information for you. Not everyone agrees with this psak Rabbi Yehuda. In fact, Rav Zvid and Rav Avir, they both didn't hold of it. My time, or why not? Chay Rav Yehuda saying, good, he has a migu. So they said, I'll tell you what, because hay shtore kima de leguvaynu koi, mizah zorbe, umichbash hu de kofshe l'shtore, because malvas don't lose their shtar. It's not something that happens. And being that malvas don't lose their shtar, so of him timing that he lost the shtar is actually not something that seems very reasonable. And being that it doesn't seem very reasonable, so it's for that reason he's not neman to say it, despite the fact that he has a migu that he could have said lekucha hibiyadi. In fact, the way we interpret this is savar uchla train shtin yeserta, that he's just trying to get an extra 2 years out of this, but in reality we don't believe him. Now there's two kenaches over here. Number one, even though a lekeach will sometimes lose a shtar, but a malva is not going to lose a shtar. And the hesber is because a lekeach has to hold a shtar really forever. Forever is a very long time. And as a result, he's careful for a certain amount of time, afterwards not. But a malva knows his whole arrangement over here is a short-term arrangement, right? He has the mashkanta, this is where it's 3 years, 5 years. Once you know it's a short amount of time, even if that amount of time is more than 3 years, the assumption is you're going to watch it for more than 3 years. So that's hanocha number one in why Rav Zvid and Rav Avir don't agree with this migu. It's because although there is a svara when it comes to a lekeach, that after 3 years he might not have a shtar, by a malva you don't have that svara. Okay, number two is being that there's a very strong svara that a malva doesn't lose his shtar, so therefore there's an anansa hadi he didn't lose his shtar. So that even though he has a migu, he could have said lekuchi biyadi, right, just to spring out the point. The end of the day, why are we believing him? He could have said lekuchi biyadi, and if he would have said lekuchi biyadi, there would be no reyes over the fact that he lost the shtar. Meaning a malva doesn't lose his shtar, but a lekeach could lose his shtar. So believe me that I lost my shtar, migu that I could have said I was a lekeach, and then it would have been perfectly normal for me to have lost my shtar. It doesn't add up. And the reason it doesn't add up is because at the end of the day, a person is not nema with a migu to go against something that we know is probably not true. And if at the end of the day, your taina is, I lost my shtar, and you're a malva, there's an anan sahadi that a malva doesn't lose the shtar. It's what we know as a migu b'makam edim, or a migu b'makam anan sahadi, and migu b'makam anan sahadi loyin. Amrinan, and it's for that reason they said you're not going to use. Rabbi Yehuda said he has a migu, he could have said lekuchi biyadi. True, there is something called migu, but at the same time over here, your taina is a taina that's not a mistaber digataina. It's contradicted by the spirit of anan sahadi and migu b'makam anan sahadi lo yamrinan. Amli Ravina the Ravashi. Ravina said something else to Ravashi. He said elameyato. Hai mashkanta de sura, a mashkanta de sura, the kasvi hachi, that says as follows, but mishlam shnei ilein tepekar double kasef, that at the end of the term of the mashkanta de sura, so the mashkin's going to be returned to the loiva without any additional consideration, right? This is going to be the end all as it relates to this transaction. In a situation like this, if this person's going to hide the mashkanta and he's going to say lekuchi biyadi, is that true that he's going to be believed? Does it make sense that Rabbanu would make a takana for a situation that could come with deep seida? So Ravina is telling Rav Ashi, I'll leave it to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda that holds that Malva is believed after 3 years, migu he could have said lekuchi biyadi. He says, I understand. Every single time you have a mashkanta, the surah, that's going to be for more than 3 years, so you're basically putting the loiv in a very vulnerable situation because you're allowing the malva to maybe come with a migo. Because although there's a shtar, he's going to say, I lost the shtar. So if you hold like down my rum, that say it's a migo makam anan sadi loy amrino, it's okay, that's not a taina. But if you're telling me now, Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that he's believing a migo, so how could the Rabbana make a takana that's going to set up such a situation? I mean, the point is like this. The point is, our case was like a maisa shaya kachoy. Malva said 5, Leiva said 3, they're not getting along, there's a fight. Rabbi Yehuda said, oh, he has a migu. Said Ravina to Rav Ashi, if Rabbi Yehuda is right, every situation can result in this. Because After 3 years, the guy will always say, I lost my shtar, and it'll be belayed to say, l'kuch v'yadi. And then no one's saying he's going to do it. But the kash is, v'chi mesakni rabbanon milsa da'asi baladei p'sayda. Why would the rabbanon set up the system in a way that can devolve into such anarchy, where a person has such an easy way out to get out of a situation? So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi told Ravina, in a normal case, it's not such a problem. You know why? Because, amalei hasam t'kinu le rabbanon demari ariyav taska, v'kari karya. It's because Rabbanan made two takanas that really address this. Number one, they said that the loiv and every mashkanta, the surah, has to pay the taxes. So if the loiv is the one that has to pay the taxes, so he's going to have the tax receipts of all the years that he paid taxes, everyone's going to chop its his. And as a result, the Malva is not going to be able to say lekuchi biyadi. Additionally, Chum also made a takana that the loiva has the responsibility of digging ditches around the field. You know, the ditches that we learned about right in the beginning of Perek HaMakabel. Is it the Oris's responsibility? Is it the Balasada's responsibility? Right? But over here, the point is that the loiva is going to be the one that's going to have to do it. And being that he's going to be the one that's going to have to do it, so everyone's going to chop it still his field. Right? This is the equivalent here of to like a macha. Right? If the person is moicha within 3 years, you don't have the cheskes gimel shanim, so the whole cheskes gimel shanim over here is going to be the gate. But the Gemara says, Ara deles le karya v'lo yav taskamai. What if you have a field that doesn't require anyone to dig ditches, or it's a non-for-profit organization that doesn't pay any taxes? So what are you going to do in situations like this? Every life has to understand that, you know what, you give someone a mashkanta de surah, learn chesk sabatim, learn all these different sugyas and chap. Meaning, you have to not be an amoritz. You have to know what you're supposed to. You hire a lawyer and you make sure you follow all the rules that you're supposed to follow. Says the Gemara, loy imchamai. Let's say he wasn't moicha. The Gemara says he wasn't moicha. What do you want from my life? Ew, that's his problem. The point is that that kun is not set up for failure. Takana is a good takana. It could be everything. But at the end of the day, as long as you follow the rules, tzadikim yelchubam, I don't see any reason that this should result in a problem. That was Rav Ashi's response to Ravina. Says the Gemara. Also me inyan le inyan ba'isa inyan. Oris oimer le mechza yiradati, ubalabayis oimer le shlish hayradativ mi naman. There's a dispute between an Oris and the Bala Sada, right? You knew this was going to happen somewhere in this parak. They're fighting now. The Oris Tainus that I agreed to a deal that I'm going to be entitled to 50% of the income. The Bala Sada says, no, the deal was you're going to get a third of the income. Remember Toistus in the beginning of the parak talked about who used to get the better end of the deal, the Bala Sada or the Oris. This is one of the rayas. The Bala Sada used to traditionally get the better end of the deal. But the bottom line is that there was a dispute. Is he supposed to get a third or is he supposed to get half? The Oris says, L'mechza yiraditi, I went for 50%. Balabaya says, L'shlish hayraditiv, I sent you there for a third. Me nemon. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, Balabaya, Snam Rav Nachman, Amah HaKolti, Minah Gamadina. So Rabbi Yehuda says, the Balabaya says, always believe. Rav Nachman says, no, you follow the Minah Gamadina. Meaning, if the Minah Gamadina is that the Oris gets a third, it's going to be a third. If the Minah Gamadina is that the Oris gets half, he's going to get half. You always follow the Minah Gamadina. That's what you do in these situations. Says the Gemara, Sovereign Mina, the Bnei Yeshiva, when they heard this machloikis, they said, you know something, maybe loy pligi. Maybe afushe machloikis loy mafshinon. I don't even know if there's a machloikis over here. Haba asrit the shakal arisa palga, haba asrit the shakal arisa tilsa. Meaning, it could be Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman are saying the same thing. What did Rav Nachman say? Hakol kamina gamedina. Rav Yehuda said balabayis nemon that it's a third, but maybe it's because he was in a place where that was the mina gamedina. So it's a funny way of saying it, but at the end of the day, they were both saying the same thing. He said the balabayis and saying the third balabayis nemon, not mitzad the din balabayis was er hot a besser in the monis from the aris. That's not the nakuda. The word is because that was punk the mina gamedina, and as it relates to Rav Nachman, he said, "I'm a furish hakol kimina gamedina." But the Gemara says, "Amudu Ramari perot abashmul hochem rabaya." I hear what you're saying, but somewhat Abaya said. Abaya said, "I feel the baasru the shogel arisa palgo pligi that this machloikis is even in a place where the oris usually takes a half, meaning even there." Rabbi Yehuda said, Balabayas Nemo, that it's only a third. Rabbi Yehuda Omar, Balabayas Nemo. Rabbi Yehuda says, the Balabayas is believed, and the reason he's believed is because he has a migu. This is like Rabbi Yehuda in the previous Gemara. He has a migu. If we don't have a contract, and we don't have an agreement between the Aris and the Balasada, who says you're even an Aris? Who said you're my partner? Maybe you work for me 9 to 5, and I pay you some wage. But it's not muchach at all that he's even an artist. Now, ordinarily pull out the agreement, but it doesn't sound like we have an agreement. So being that he has a migu that he could have said that Schir Velikitu, he's just an ordinary worker. He's believed to say that Leshlish Heradativ, and that's why he's going to have an Amanis. In other words, Abaye said that there really is a Machlik. So, right, have a meaning, maybe there's no Machlik at all. Everyone holds Akol Kamina Gamadina, says the Gemara, not necessarily. Another case, Me Inyan Le Inyaba Isa Inyan. The case is where a man died and he left over Chayvis, was left over property. The halacha is that a bachayv could be goyva karka nechasim meshubadim from the yisoymen, stating that in the event that the yisoymen work the field after their father dies before the bachayv comes to collect it, that shvach the yisoymen are going to be able to keep. Maisa shoya kachoya, where a man died, left over yisoymen, they work the field, they were mashpich the field. Now the malva comes to collect the field, and the question is, this shvach that we see right here, what's the inyan? Yisoymim say, anu ishbachtu, like we just said, we're the ones who worked. Ubachoyvoy says, no, avichem ishbiach. Your father's the one that was mashbiach this field, and if your father's one that's mashbiach the field, it's included in what I'm allowed to collect. Amilahavi rayas. It says the Gemara, who has to bring the rayas? So Rab Chanina lemeimar. So Rab Chanina said a geshmakazach. He said that aru becheskas yasmi kaimo. The land is becheskas yasmi, v'al bal chayv l'havi raya, and as a result of bal chayv should have to bring a raya. Meaning, pasha, this is Safik Mamin 101. At the end of the day, the yisoymim are the ones that are the muchsik, so to speak, and if that's the case, for sure the bal chayv would be the one that has to bring a raya. Amalei ahu saba, but ahu saba says, pasha, ahu saba means an el tereid, but we know Tosfos in Chulin Daf Vav Amud Aleph that ahu saba is maybe Eliyahu HaNavi, but the bottom line is, hachi am Rabbi Yochanan, this is Eliyahu HaNavi quoting Rabbi Yochanan. He said, this is what Rabbi Yochanan said, Ali Yisoymim Lahavi Raya. No, it's the Yisoymim that have to bring the raya. My time, what's the reason? He said as follows, Alamdis, Aru, kiven de leguvayna kaima, being that Mammon of Shach, the Baal Chayv is going to be able to take this field, it's command the Gav Yadamyo. We look at it as if he already collected the whole field, Fali Yisoymim Lahavi Raya, and if the Yisoymim want to take anything back, so now they're going to have to prove what it is that they're allowed to get back. Now Rashi adds a big knetch. There's a long Rashi here, but Rashi adds a big knetch in terms of explaining what's going on in this Gemara, and it's really based on the Gemara we're going to learn in a few lines, and that is, even in the case with the Yisoymim HaMashbiach, where everyone's in agreement that that's what took place, the halacha is that the Malva, the Baal Chayv, gets to take the entire field. He even gets to take the Shvach that the Yisoymim were Mashbiach. The only nafkamina is, he has to make the Yisoymim whole for any money that they put in. So again, with the Yisoymim or Mashbiach, the Yisoymim are going to be entitled to their Shvach. But the halacha is that the Baal Chayv gets the actual Shvach. Meaning, he takes the field with all the Shvach and everything going on in it. He rather has to write a check at the closing to refund the Yisoymim for whatever investment and whatever Shvach it is that belongs to them. But here's the punchline, and this is what Ahu Saba was saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. What he was saying was, being that the whole karka, even the chelik that the Yisoymim were mashbiach, is going to go to the Baal Chayv, nor vos, I have to give you money. So the whole shaila is, do I have to give you money or do I not have to give you money? Oh, it's a shaila if I have to give you money? Oh, so then you have to bring a raya. And therefore, Ali Yisoymim will have your raya. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Chanina lemeimar, aru becheskes yasmi kaima. That really the land is in the Rishos of the assignment, right? They're the muchzik in it. At the end of the day, it's by them. But says the Gemara, no, even though it's true, it's by them, but kuli amalei pligi, regardless of who's telling the truth and who's lying, that it's liguvayna kaima, which means the whole thing is going to end up in the reshus of the Baal Chayv, so it's like a shmak esvara. And now the question only is, do I have to reimburse you? So the suffix is really not even on the ara. The suffix is on the moment. I mean that the suffix is on, now the shayrish of the suffix is in the ara, but lamaisa, the suffix is in the moment, right? This is where it gets into real kishkes of Safik Mammon, but the bottom line is, this is what Ahu Saba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Abaye said, I'll bring a riot to Rabbi Yochanan said. And this Mishnah is also in Bava Basra. This is in the second parak of Masechtas Bava Basra, Daf Chav Dalet Amid Beis. Safik Zeh Kodem, the Safik Zeh Kodem. So the case over there is talking about where someone has a tree and it's planted in a city, close to a city. So depending on what type of tree it is, the halachas, you have to cut down the tree. Stating that, the halacha is that if the person planted the tree when he wasn't supposed to plant it, so then the vad ha'ilonos comes, they cut the tree down, and they don't make him whole. You lost your tree, you shouldn't have done it, right? If, however, he had planted it first, and then all of a sudden a city popped chopped up, and there's laws about trees and cities for whatever reason, as we're going to see in Perklei Achbar. So then, being that the person, at the very least, when he planted the tree, he did so lawfully, he wasn't doing anything wrong, so there we make him whole, and we give him his money. What happens if there's a suffix? That's what's happening in this Mishnah. Suffix zekadam, v'suffix zekadam. So the halach is koitzitz. First things first, we cut down the tree, ve'enu nois and damen, and we don't make him whole. Why? Maybe you should have to give me the money. The Teretz says, Abaya Alma, you know what you see from here? Because Kiman de la make its kaima. Being that Mamon of Shach, we're going to cut down this tree. Amrina, like we say, I see Raya Vishko. Meaning Mamon of Shach, we're cutting the tree. That's not the Shail. The Shail is, could you now schlep out money from the Bnei Yair? Could you not schlep out money from the Bnei Yair? Says Abaya, that's a Sophic Mammon. And being that that's a Sophic Mammon, I'm going to make a very all of a Raya. So Achinami said, Abaya, hi, Shtar, Kiman de la Guvaina, Kaima, Commander Gabiadam. Over here, the Shtar is Oymid Likvois, because that's the Loch of the Shtar. And the Oymid Likvois, like we spoke out, Rashi's Knech is not just the land that the father left over by Yerusha, but even the Shvach is Oymid Likvois. Vali Yisoymim L'Havi Raya. So therefore, the Yisoymim would have to bring a Raya. Says the Gemara, Aisu Yasmi Raya, the Inu Ashpecho. What would happen if the Yisoymim Taka would bring a Raya, that they're the ones that were mashpiach the field? Okay, so now what happens? Now you have to make them whole. So Rabbi Chanina Memriki Salkin Luba Arma Salkin Luz. Rabbi Chanina thought that when you go now and you reimburse the assignment, the way to reimburse the assignment is by giving them Ara, meaning you have to give them back the property. If they were mashpich the property, and it turned out that they were telling the truth, so you have to give them, which is not like what we just spoke out, and that's where the Gemara says what we just spoke out is v'loyi b'dmeimis alkin aluhu. All you have to do is give them money. Mid Rav Nachman, it's based on Rav Nachman. Sadam Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, Shloisha Shamalan es Hashvach u'mayla noise b'dam. There are three people that we assess the shvach, and we make the owner of the shvach whole by giving him money, in contrast to having to give him a chelik of the shvach. And if this sounds familiar, we had this not terribly long ago. And these are the three people that Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, this halacha applies to. Bechor lepashnut, ubal choyv v'ksubas isha liyasoymim, ubal choyv lelukuchas. So what's the case of Bechor lepashnut? So we know Bechor gets pishnayim, but he only gets pishnayim b'muchzik. He doesn't get pishnayim b'royki b'muchzik. So what happens if a man dies and he leaves over properties? And then the Yisoyimim started working the properties. So any shvach that they work, that's poshet, the Bechor is not going to get pishnayim from. So when it comes to divide the properties, you have to cheshbon, what was the value of the property at the time that the father died? And what's the value of it now that it was mashpiach? Right? Makes a big difference. He gets pishnayim of whatever the snapshot of its price was at the time of the petita. But any shvach that happened afterwards, that he's not going to get pishnayim. So the halach is as follows, said Rav Nachman, in the name of Shmuel, that the Bechor gets the full pishnayim. What he does is he writes a check to his brothers to make them whole for whatever it is that he has to give them back. As opposed to what? As opposed to giving them a disproportionate chelik of the actual property relative to whatever that shvach was. Meaning, you could have thought he's only entitled to 2/3 of the property of what it was worth then. So for that, it'll take 2/3 of the property, but you make a cheshbin of what the shvach was, and that they'll just split evenly. The Teretz says no. If you're entitled to 2/3, you take the full 2/3, and you write a check to make him whole for anything on top of that. That's Bechor lepashnut. What's Bal Choyv? That's the halacha that we're discussing right now. That if you have a Bal Choyv or you have an Isha that's coming to collect from the Yisoyimim, where the halacha is that they're entitled to any Shvach that they made, the halacha is you, the Isha, or you, the Bal Choyv, gets to take the entire property mit the Shvach. You don't give back a piece of property. What you do is you make them all by giving them a check. And finally, Bal Choyv l'lekuchai. So here we're talking about where somebody is a malva, he loaned money to a leiva, the leiva went and he sold the property to a loikeach. You're now going to the loikeach because of the fact that you had achrayas, nechasa, mishubadim, and you're schlepping the property out from the loikeach. In the meantime, the loikeach went and the loikeach worked the property. So again, the halacha is that you can't take the shvach from the loikeach. All you get to take is the underlying property. Stating that, the halacha, said Rav Nachman, HaMashmul, is that you get to take the entire property and you make the loikeach whole by writing him a check. Either way, says the Gemara, That is the way this plays itself out. So in the event that the assignment later would come and bring a raya, you wouldn't have to give the assignment back to property, but rather you would cut the assignment the check. And the way Rashi explained the Gemara, that's really the whole oimik of the sugya. The oimik of the sugya is the reason we view the Baal Chayv as being the muchzik, even on the chelik of the assignment, because Maman of Shachi is taking the property. The question is, does he have to give him money? Oh, it's a shayla, if I have to give you money, that's a classic Safik Maman, with Allah is going to be that Hamoitzi Mechaveroi Olav HaRaya, says the Gemara. So we just brought Rav Nachman's remember the name of Shmuel. Shloisha Shama Lehenes Ashvach Umay Lenoisa Medam. Pchor LePashut Balchayv Exubasishu LeSaimin, which is the sugi that we're learning. UBalchayv LeLekuche. So the Gemara now is going to digress from here until the Mishnah regarding Balchayv LeLekuche. So the last case that Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, the Balchayv reimburses with money, despite that fact that he's taking land that doesn't really belong to him, is Balchayv LeLekuche. Again, what's the case? Reuven loaned money to Shimon. And he lent it with a shtar. So all Shimon's nechasim are meshubin now to this loan. Shimon then goes and he sells one of his properties that he had at that time to a loikeach. When Reuven goes to Shimon and he says, kesef minolon, and Shimon says, I don't have any money, no problem. Reuven then goes to the loikeach and he schleps. In the meantime, the loikeach's been working the field. The field's worth a lot more than it was worth previously. The halacha is that Reuven can't take the whole field. He could only take what the field was at the time that Shimon sold it to the loikeach. Stating that, the way it plays itself out, the maisa in the courts, is that Reuven takes the whole field and he writes a check to the loikeach to make him whole. So the Gemara says, I'm going to the Rav Asher, maybe the Sabbath Shmuel Balchayv Lekuchais. Could it be that Shmuel included in his big three, Baal Chayv Lelekuchais, the Gears of the Bach is, L'meimer Desav HaShmuel Baal Chayv Lelekuchais Yahiv Shvacha? Meaning, one thing for sure you see from Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, that when the Baal Chayv goes and takes from the Lekeach, he can't take the Shvach, right? What's he going to take from him? He can only take the value of the property. The question is, how do you reimburse the Lekeach for the Shvach? Do you reimburse him by giving him property? Do you reimburse him by writing him a check? But the Gemara says, I don't understand. The Shmuel even holds in the first place that the Lekeach is entitled to the Shvach. This blatantly contradicts something else that Shmuel said. And this we had earlier. The Il, Daf Yudalad Amad Beis, Daf Tesvav Amad Alv. So this brings us back to the back end of Perek Shnayim Oichsin. For Amar Shmuel said, Baal Chayv Goyves HaShvach. That a Baal Chayv is allowed to be Goyves the Shvach. Now the reason that Shmuel holds Baal Chayv is Goyves the Shvach, right, sounds very unfair. Why should Baal Chayv be able to take the Shvach from the Lekech? The reason is because the Lekech, Mamon of Shach, is going to be made whole. Right, the Lekech, we're assuming, bought Bachrayas, so that he's going to be able to go back to his Moicher, who is the Malva's Loiva, and tell him that, you know, somebody just walked off in my field. And number one, I paid for the field and I put shvach into it. And the halach is that he's going to have to make him whole. But the point is that Shmuel's halach is that Baal Chayv goyve es hashvach. So he gets to keep the whole thing. He doesn't have to reimburse him at all. So the Gemara says like this. I have an eitz. Maybe you'll tell me like kash. Kam b'shvach ha-megeh l'ksafayim. Kam b'shvach she'emegeh l'ksafayim. Maybe when the Shmuel say that the Baal Chayv can be goyve the shvach, that shvach, that's not fully matured yet. It's not fully cultivated. It's still being yoinik from the ground. It's loy higia l'ksafayim, right? It's not shoulder height yet. If, however, it's higia l'ksafayim, where it's ready to go, so maybe over there the halacha is going to be different. But the Gemara says, v'maisim b'chol yoin, v'kom agbish v'ulav filu b'shvacham higia l'ksafayim. We know Shmuel had a bezdin, and in his bezdin, he never differentiated between these two things. He never made a distinction between these two things. His halacha always was that you're allowed to take even from the shvach hamigia l'ksafayim. So adish them these two members of Shmuel. On the one hand, Shmuel says, b'chol goyves hashvach, get to keep the whole shvach, and let the lekeach reimburse himself from his moicher. And here you have Shmuel says, when a Baal Chayv goes and he takes from the loikeach, he has to reimburse him. Good, you don't have to reimburse him with the actual shvach. He could only write him a check. Well, nice, you have a steer between these two halachas. So the Gemara says, like kasha, very simple teretz. Had the masim be kashir arav shvacha. Had the le masim be kashir arav shvacha. It depends. If the shvach is needed to make the malva whole for his loan, meaning he loaned the loiva $1,000. The field was worth $500. With the shvach, it's worth $1,000. So I'm taking the $1,000 to make myself whole. Then I take the full $1,000 and let the loikeach crack his head trying to get it back from the moicher. If, however, the value of the shvach together with the land exceeds the value of the loan, so then I can't keep it anyways. Because, oh, mechateis, I should be able to, I can't make money off of this, so I can't keep it. If I can't keep it, I'm giving you back. The shaylos had to give you back. Oh, zen nemar Shmuel's halacha, that there are three people, we're shaman lehenes hashvach, umay lenoisam, bidamim. But the Gemara says, So you're telling me that's the case. L'chura, it should be totally in something else. Why? That's all good according to Mandama that holds that I isle. Zuzi l'loikeach loy motzi mesalik le l'bachayv shaper. Bishlam according to the mandama that holds that in the event that l'loikeach has money, if he wants to give the malva money instead of giving him the property, it's not something he's allowed to do. So I understand this whole halacha. The Gemara will explain. El l'manda amar. But according to the mandama that holds that isle zuzi l'loikeach motzi mesalik le l'bachayv, that if the l'loikeach has money, he has a right to always give money to the malva and be misalik to b'choy. So the name alay, that I don't understand why he can't get property over here. Why doesn't he tell me, Havavizuzi, Havavisalik nalach mikular? If I had money, I wouldn't have to give you any property. Hashad the Leslie Zuzi, now that I don't have money, Havli griva da'ara, da'aroi shir shvachoy. At the very least, let me keep my shir shvach. There's a shayla of every single time in our case where Reuven loaned money to Shimon. Shimon had a field, he sold it to a lekech. Reuven is now collecting from the lekech. He gets to take the field. The field is meshubit. What if the lekech doesn't want to give him the field? He says, instead of giving you the field, I'm going to write you a check. Does he have a right to do that? Or does he not have a right to do that? This is a big machloikis. That's this machloikis. He is zuzi lekech. Motzi misal klei lebachoy bezuzi, or loy motzi misal klei bezuzi. So the Gemara says like this. Bishloim, if you're going to tell me, loy motzi misal klei bezuzi. So you always have to give the property. So good, I understand Shmuel's halach. It's a chiddush, it's a bigger chiddush, but I get it. Meaning, because the karka is meshuvah to me. So, kamash melon shmul, not only do I get a right to take the karka, I even get to take the karka that represents your shvach. I get to take the whole thing and I'll write you a check and you go to the moicher and make yourself whole. But if the halacha tainis the Gemara is, I can never take the karka. If I want to give you money, I can always give you money. So, why am I giving you karka now? Because that's what I chose to give. But if I didn't want to give you the karka, even what is yours, for sure. Meaning not the shvach, the chelik that was for sure meshuvah, I didn't have to give you. So then why is it that as it relates to the shvach, which I'm going to end up getting back, I should have to give you the karka? Right? Bishloima, the chelik that I have to give you. Okay, so I chose to give it to you as karka, you'll keep it as karka. But the other chelik, I want to keep the karka. You're going to tell me, no, I have a schus for the karka. It's not true. If I wanted, I wouldn't have to give you karka at all. So bishloima, if I have to give you karka, you have a schus in the karka, kamash, you even have a schus in the shvach of the karka, and I'm just going to reimburse you by giving you money. But if you tell me that you never have a schus in the carcass, and says the Gemara that l'chayr, this whole mahalach in Shmuel, and we explain Shmuel. Shmuel's talking about where the situation is that I have to make you whole. The reason I have to make you whole is because there's a chelik of this that's not represented by the loan. And the way I make you whole is by giving you money. I don't understand. Even the loan chelik, if I wanted, I could have not giving you karka. So kal v'chaymer ben benoishal kal v'chaymer the chelik that's not represented by the loan, but the Gemara says you have to say hachab b'mayaskinon. The case over here was going to shavya nahale apoytiki. The case was where this wasn't a regular nechasa meshubadim, but the malv and the loiv agreed that apoytiki. Right, that the payment is going to be made from this piece of property. This is where I'm going to pay. That's more than just a regular chasam shubadim. And if somebody buys an apoytiki, the halacha is aliba de kuliyam, that when you make the person whole, you have to make him whole by giving him the actual property. Being that we're dealing with an apoytiki, that's where Shmuel's halacha kicks in to the next gear and says, you have a schus to take the property. Here, there's no hanicha l'manda amar, elo l'manda amar. Everybody's in agreement that you have a right to give him, or you have a right to take the property. You can't be masalik. You can even take the shvach. And when it comes time to reimburse him, you're going to reimburse him with money. So as it relates to raid. So today's daf is really a very lamdish daf, but we're going to go back to daf kuf ches amud aleph, which is the last daf that we learned together, this machzer, the sugya of dina de bar metzra. Two hars. So the Gemara said that there's an idea called Dina de Bar Metzra, something that we're all on some level familiar with. If somebody is looking to acquire a piece of property, the Moicher has a responsibility to sell it first to one of the neighbors before he offers it to somebody else. In other words, the Bar Metzra, the neighbor of this piece of property that's being sold, has a right of first refusal, as long as he matches the offer, to be able to take this piece of property. And it sounds like this law is incumbent upon the Meicher to satisfy. It's incumbent upon the other Lekeach, this person that really wanted to buy this piece of property. He should allow the Bar Metzra to keep it. And the Gemara actually had a a source in the Torah from a pasuk to this halacha. Mishum shenemar, it says vasisa hayoshev atoy b'enei Hashem. It's a pasuk in Parshas Vaaschanun, and from there we learn the concept of Dida de Bar Mitzvah. The way Rashi explained it was, Dovash, iata nechzer kol kach. If you're involved in a transaction where you're going to lose, but you're not going to lose so much, right? The moich is certainly not losing. And the Lekeach is going to lose a little bit. Yeah, he'd love to buy another piece of property, but if you're not losing so much, L'shoyne Yazov Shal Rashi, in that case, it's incumbent upon you to do the decent thing, and that is Vasisa Hayosher Vahatoiv. It's interesting. If you take a look in Rashi and Chumash, on this pasuk, Vasisa Hayosher Vahatoiv B'eni Hashem, Rashi says, Zu Pshara V'lifnei Meshur Sadin. That Vasisa Hayosher Vahatoiv B'eni Hashem is a commandment that says that if you're involved in a dispute, try to compromise. Or in life, you should try to go l'fnei meshuras hadin, which I think gives a little color to the halach of dina de bar metzra. And that is, it's on some level of l'fnei meshuras hadin. But at the same time, the Torah says, v'sisa yoshev atoy b'enei Hashem, that a yid is supposed to go l'fnei meshuras hadin. Now the truth is, this is a little bit chazara. The idea of going l'fnei meshuras hadin is something that interestingly came up several times throughout Masechus Bava Metzia. And there's really one Tosfos in Perek Eilu Metzias, Daf Chav Dal Amud Beis, that puts all these Gemaras together. The first Gemara was on Daf Chav Dal Amud Beis. The Gemara over there told the story. Rav Yehuda have a shakel v'azav asrei de marshul b'shuk de bei daisa. Rav Yehuda was once following his Rebbe Shmuel in the shuk of bei daisa. On Malays, Rav Yehuda told Shmuel, Motzakan arniki mau, if I would be lucky enough and I would stumble upon an arniki, I would find money right here. What's the loch? Would I be able to keep it or would I not be able to keep it? This is smack in the middle of Eilu Metzias. Amalei, so Shmuel said, Arei Eilu Shalai, you'd be allowed to keep it. But Yisrov and Asa Basim Imam. Shmuel then got the follow-up question. Rav Yehuda said, what would be if a Yid would come and he would give me a simen? What would be the loch? Amalei, Chayv L'Hachzer, you would have to return it. Says the Gemara, Tarti. So Rav Yehuda told Shmuel, I understand. Rebbe, you would just say to yourself, you're telling me that if I find an arniki, I can keep it. And then you're telling me that if a Yid comes and gives a simen, I have to return it. If I find an arniki, I can keep it. What does that mean? That means that we assume the Bible was miyayish. Therefore, it was shalai. Well, if the Bible was miyayish, then even if he comes and he brings a simen, I should be able to keep it because he was miyayish already. Amalei, so Shmuel told Rav Yehuda, my Taira Talmud, Shinana, right? You're asking a good kashna, Abba Lefnim Meshur Sadin. My halacha of Chayiv Lahachzer is true. It's not Miyakir Adin, because Miyakir Adin, we assume he was Miyayish. But it's based on Lefnim Meshur Sadin. Ki had Abu de Shmuel, and the Gemara tells a story with Shmuel's father, Ashkechana Chamri b'midbara. He once found Chamoyrim, donkeys in the midbar. Vadrinu l'maray, l'basa treysa yarchi shasa, and he returned it after 12 months. Even though after 12 months, we assume for sure the Bible was Miyayish, and the reason he did it was Lefnim Meshur Sadin. So you have a Gemara in the Sugis of Eilu Metzias, Shmuel, Avur the Shmuel, that you're supposed to go. Lefnim Meshur Sadin. Freit Toisvis, two kashas. His first kasha is from another Gemara in Perek Eilu Metzias, Daf Lamed Amud Beis. The Gemara there told another story. The Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi have a ka'azal b'urcha. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was once traveling on the road. Pogabe hahu gavra. And he met a person, Havadari Pischa de'ufi. And this person, he was carrying bundles of wood, and he was very, very tired. He was schwitzing, it was hot outside. Oisvinu, he put it down, become mitbach, and he took a little bit of a rest. Amalei, when he had to pick up the load again, it was very heavy. So he turned to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, and he told him, Dalili, can you please help me? Now, Shmuel Rabbi Yossi understood they had an obligation to help him. Azev Tazoev, Prika Teina, that's what's going on in that Gemara. But he didn't want to help him. So Amalei told him, come and shove him. Tell me, how much are your Eitzim worth? Amalei Palga de Zuza. It's a half a Zuz. No, Yavle Palga de Zuz. He says, here you have a half a Zuz. It's not yours now, it's mine. I'm going to leave it here. I don't need it. Like this, I don't have to help you. It wasn't worth his Tircha to have to get involved. He'd prefer to give him a half as well. Says the Gemara, but Shmuel Rabbi Yossi didn't need the word. So after he did this for Afkara, he made it Hefker. Says the Gemara, oh, it's Hefker. This guy was thrilled. He just did the best deal in his life. Hadazachabus. He was eichen it again. And he says, will you please help me? He says, Oyvei, nah, I don't want to help you. Let me buy it for you again. Hadav Yavle Palga de Zuza. Rinse and repeat. For Afkara, the same thing happened again. So the Gemara says, after he was Mafkar the second time, Chazid Avakabay the Mahadal Miskabu. He saw that this person was going to be Zacha. Amalei's Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi told this yid, hey, listen, I made this mistake once, I'm not making it again. He said, L'kuli alma afkirinu. I was mafkir to everybody, but I was never mafkir to you. Anyone that wants to be zayche could Could you do something like that? Besides a shita, that hefker has to be like shmita, which is hefker to everybody. Here, he was being a mafka, not to everybody. It's not something that even works. According to Beis Shammai, it works. But Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Yosef definitely is not going like Beis Shammai. So the Gemara says like this. Elo, you're right. Look, Oilom Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Yosef kuli amafkerinu. He was really mafkered for everybody. Ubemilsa ba'almahuda oikme. And the reason he did this was because he just didn't want to be fadraida kup with this person. So he made believe. He made believe that he wasn't, meaning of course he wasn't going to Shitas Beis Shammai, he was like Bisul, really was smafkered for everybody, and he was just trying to avoid this whole situation. Says the Gemara, but I have a fundamental problem with this whole story. Who is the Tana in this story? It was Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yosi. Freak the Gemara. For Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yosi, Zokin, Vein, Aluch, Vichvoy, Dehava. Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yosi, for him to engage in this kind of behavior, is a Zokin, Vein, Aluch, Vichvoy, Dehava. And we know a Zokin, Vein, Aluch, Vichvoy, Dehava is potter from a Shavas Aveda, but not just a Shavas Aveda, from pre-Kantina as well. So freak the Gemara. I understand why is Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yosi humoring this guy. At the end of the day, he's a Zokin, Vein, Aluch, Vichvoy, Dehava. He was potter anyways. And for the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yosi, Lefnim Mishur Sadin Hudavat. What Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi was doing was Lefnim Mishur Sadin. The Tani Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef taught in a Braisa, it says in the Pasuk, Vizarta SMS Achukim, Vesatoiros, Voidatlam Esaderech Yelchuba, Vesamasa Ashayas. The context over there is Yisroi. He's giving advice to Moshe Rabbeinu, beginning of Parshas Yisroel, and he tells him what he should do. But either way, Chazal Darshan, this pasuk as follows. Vaidat lehem es haderech. Vaidat lehem is referring to Beis Chayeyan. You have to teach a parnasa. Es haderech is gemilos chasodim. Yelchu is bikur choylem. Ba is kfura. Ves hamas is adin ashe yasun. So lefnim eshur esadin. So you want to know where Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi did what he did? It's because he was going lefnim eshur esadin. This is the second Gemara. Tosa has a kasha from this Gemara. What the kasha is, we're going to hold that thought. But there's a third Gemara that Tosa asks a second kasha from, also Gemara that we learned in Bava Metzia. And this is in the end of Asoicha Sa'umnin. It's also a story. And that pei gimel amen aleph. The Gemara over there says as follows. Rabbi Bar Bar Chanon, Tovri lehanu shkuloi, chavisa dechamra. Rabbi Bar Bar Chanon hired porters to take logistics, carry barrels for him. Either way, the shkuloi went and they broke a chavisa dechamra, a barrel of wine. Shokal aglimayo. So he took their shirt. Also, Amalei the Rav, they went and they told Rav what happened. Amalei, so Rav said, have a little glumayo, give them back their shirt. I mean, even though in that sugya, really, this shkuloi should have been responsible, nisko pesheya, that's what's going on over there. But still, Rav said, you have to give back their shirt. Amalei, dina hachi? He said, is that the din? Amalei, in, it is the din. So where does it say this? I never heard of such a din. I don't know. I learned the sugya is nisko pesheya. She said, it's a pasuk in Mishlei. It says, l'man teilech b'derech toivim. L'man teilech b'derech toivim. You have to go in the derech of toivim. Zok the hilig Rashi. Lifnim mishur sadin. You have to go lifnim mishur sadin. No. He listened, Yavlu Gleimayu. Amr Leh, they told him afterwards, you know, Ani Anan, you know, we're very poor. Vitarchinan Kulayoima, and we worked the entire day. Vikafinan, and we're starving. Veleslam Media, we have nothing to eat. Can you please feed us? Amalei, so he told him, Rav did zil have a grayo. Yeah, pay him. He says, what? Amalei, dinachi? Let me buy you. I'm not charging them for breaking my barrel of wine, but I don't have to pay them for the work that they did. Amalei, yeah, that's the halacha. It says, v'archa sadikim tishmar. The end of that pasuk. L'man teluk v'derech toivim v'archa sadikim tishmar. And as a result, this is something that you're going to be obligated to do. Freak the hilga toistas. I have three gemaras that talk about the halach of Lefnim Meshur Sadin. I have the Gemara on Daf Chav Dal Rama Beis with Rav Yehuda, who was together with Mar Shmuel, and he said, if I would find an Arniki now, would I be able to give it? He said, yeah. What if a Yid would come and give a Simon? What would be the halach? You'd have to give it back. He told him it's a steer. He says, no, I mean Lefnim Meshur Sadin. I have the Gemara in Eid Metzias, Daf Laman Rama Beis with Rav Yishmael Barab Yoisi, who, although he was a Zakin Eina Lefich Foydai, he was very sensitive to this person who was schlepping wood in the very, very hot sun, and the reason he did it was based on a pasuk. Asher yasun zilu fnim eshur sadin. And then I have a gemara nasoichas umnin. The gemara with Rabbi Bar Bar Chanon, or some have the gersa Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, where you have a story over here with the porters that loymi baya, he didn't charge them, although miskal paisheya, but even paid them for a hard day's work, and it was based on lefnim eshur. So I have three gemaras about lefnim eshur sadin. Sounds good, right? Sounds like we're all getting along. Every gemara is saying the same thing, that there's an inyan of going lefnim eshur sadin. Abazok toisus zapella. He says, you know why it's a pella? Because on the Chav Dalet Amid Beis, when the Gemara mentioned Lefnei Meshuras Hadin, it didn't even say anything about a Makar. Amalei Lefnei Meshuras Hadin. You have to go Lefnei Meshuras Hadin. Is there a Makar to Lefnei Meshuras Hadin? Doesn't say anything about a Makar. On Daf Lamed Amid Beis, the story with Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara says he went Lefnei Meshuras Hadin. You know why? The Tani Rabbi Yosef, Ashe Yasun to Lefnei Meshuras Hadin. Sedo Amakar. Amakar, a Pasuk in Parashas Yisroel. And then on Daf Pei Gimel Amid Aleph with Rabbi Bar Barchano, again, there's a story of Lefnei Meshuras Hadin. And again, there is a Makar. And what's the Makar over there? Mishle, Perik Beis, Pasuk Chav. So Frank Toysvis, I don't understand. On Lamed Amid Beis, we're not going in order. There's a Pasuk in the Torah. But Pei Gimel Amid Aleph, there's a Pasuk in Mishle. And then a Chavtal and Amid Beis, there's no Pasuk at all. So, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu Freik Toysis. Do you need a Pasuk? Do you not need a Pasuk? Like, how exactly does this work? And why are there different Pesukim? I have three Sugis, says Toysis, and to me, the three Sugis don't seem to stem. Says Toysis, you have to say that although there's three Sugis here related to Lefnei Meshuras Hadin, but they're not all the same. There's nuances that make each story a little bit unique. And it's for that reason the sugya, although it sounds like the Lashita Sayu, but after further review, they're different and they play themselves out in their own unique way. I read Toistus Lash and Achav Dalad Amadez, it's Dibra Maschum, very appropriately, the Fnim Meshuras Hadin. Says Toist Vyeshlan, the Loimaisi Krod Asha Yasun, the Makar of Asha Yasun, Atzas Yisroi, that the Gemara quoted on Daflamin Amadez by the story of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, that was brought Elab Makam Shacherin Chayav and Vu Potter. That was brought in the context of Zochin Vein Lefich Foyde. Every person in the world has a Chiv to help this Yid. You're a Zochin Vein Lefich Foyde, so you don't have to. In a situation like this, where everybody is Chayiv and Punk your Potter, over there, there's a din to go Lefnei Meshuras Hadin, and that din of going Lefnei Meshuras Hadin is learned out from the pasuk of Asher Yasan. The Hacha, I'm skipping a little bit. Bishmaitin Dadrinu Basa Trechi Yachas Shishasa. In our sugya, Kuli Amiptur. Everybody was potter. Right? What was going on in Chavdal on the base? Somebody found an arnaki in a shuk. It's for sure Hare Elu Shalai. Everybody that finds it will be potter. Avuah d'Shmuel found the chamorim 12 months later. No one has an obligation to return it. Over there, le'maisikra. Over there, you don't have a pasuk. And the reason you don't have a pasuk is because being that over here, everybody is potter. So over here, you don't need a pasuk at all. Interesting. But at the same time, there is a din lefnei meshuras hadin. In the end of asoicheres umnin, bahanishkuloi sheshavle achavis v'asulei hefsid gadol. Over there, there was a hefsid mishum lefnei meshuras hadin emloi lehefsid. Mitzad ikrim lefnei meshuras hadin, there would be no reason for him to have to lose out. Lakach ma'isi kro leman teilech b'derech tovim. That's why we need the pasuk of leman teilech b'derech tovim. So it says Tosfos three different things. But the mitzia chav dalad on the base, everybody is potter. Not just you. Everybody is potter. There, lefnei meshuras hadin, no psukim needed. On lamed amid beis, everybody is chayiv. You have a special ptur. Over there, we need a pasuk to be mechayiv you. That's the pasuk in the Torah of Asher Yasa. In Pei Gimel amid aleph, over there, everyone is potter for sure. But over there, there's a hefsid moment. Over there, you're losing out, right? He's not charging him for his damages, technically as a memoni gabach, and arba avos nezikim digaklei. Not just that, he's even paying him his wages. Being that over there, he's incurring a hefsid. Over there, you're incurring a hefsid. Over there, it's going to be different. And over there, the halach is you're going to have to come onto a pasuk. And where's that pasuk going to be? That pasuk's already going to be in Sefer Mishle. Incidentally, the goyin in Mishle makes a beautiful diak. We spoke to Sad in the shir from the last machzer that in the story with Rabbi Bar Bachana, what happened? They broke the chavisa de chamra, and Rabbi Bar Bachana quickly took payment. Right, he grabbed their shirt, and they went to Rav. And what did Rav say? Leman teilech b'derech toivim. And then they said, but you know, we have no money. So Rav said, you even have to pay them. Because it says, V'archa sadikim tishmar. So the guy in his Pirush HaMishlei says, that why, regarding the first time, to give him his shirt back, he quoted the ratio of the pasuk, Leman teilech b'derech toivim. But as it relates to charging him his wages and giving him actual payment, he quoted the end of the pasuk, V'archa sadikim tishmar. So the Goyin says, the reason is very simple. The reason is because there's levels within this Lefnei Meshuras Hadin. He said the second Lefnei Meshuras Hadin was a much bigger madrega than the first Lefnei Meshuras Hadin. What was the first level? The first level was, really, I'm entitled to take payment from you. I'm not going to take payment. The second was, not only am I not going to take payment, but I'm going to pay you for ruining me, right? That's a much higher madrigal. So says the guy, and read the words of the pasuk. L'man telech b'derech toivim. Toivim have a responsibility to do the first level. Aber the second level, that's only v'archos tzadikim tishmar. Only the tzadik has to observe. Lefnim mishur tzadin is somewhat relative to who you are. So the first chelik of that story, which is the lesser level, that's every toiv is incumbent upon. This is something that he needs to do. That's l'man telech b'derech toivim. As it relates to the second chelik, that's already v'orcha tzadik and tishmar, that's only the tzadik would have to watch. And the goyin adds a knech. He says that in the first part of the pasuk, it says b'derech toivim. In the second part of the pasuk, it says v'orchos tzadikim. So the goyin says a derech is a big road. Orchos is a small path. He says the toivim, the road of the toivim, is a wide path because there's a lot of good people in the world. But as it relates to tzaddikim, there's very few tzaddikim. And that's why the tzaddikim, they travel on the orchos, where the sefer orchos tzaddikim comes from. But that's the orchos tzaddikim. But regardless, there's levels and there's nuances in the world of lefnim mishur tzaddin. So Tosis makes this hafuldiga observation that all these different lefnim mishur tzaddin, the gemaras, that have different makairas, what's going on? Chavdala Mabez is no makar. Lamin Mabez, it's Asher Yasim to Lefnim Meshur Sadin. Pei Gimel Amad Aleph, from Slaman Telech B'derech Toivim. And the Goyin adds to that, V'orcha Sadikim Tishmar, the Teretz Niz, there's different Madregas. Where everybody is Potter, that's no Pasuk at all. Where everyone is Chayiv, you have a Bezunder Reptor, that's Asher Yasim. Where it's going to come on the Cheshman of a Hefzid, that's Mishlei. And with the Goyin's Knech, that within Mishlei Gufa, there's two levels. There's Slaman Telech B'derech Toivim, not to take from him, and v'orcha tzadikim tishmar, not only am I not taking from him, but I'm even giving him. But there's just one other pasuk that Tosis made himself nishvizendik from, and that is kufches amar aleph. That is v'asisa yoshev atoiv, which Rashi, quoting Chazal, said is zu pshara v'lefnim mishur tzadik. So what's that then, lefnim mishur tzadik? That's really interesting. You know, there's a big discussion in the Achronim whether when we talk about Lefnim Meshur HaSadin, is that a chiyuv? There's like an obligation? You have to go Lefnim Meshur HaSadin? Can we force someone to go Lefnim Meshur HaSadin? The Ramah brings two dais in Choshem Mishpat Simen Yud Beis. It's based on a machloikis based Yosef and Bach. It's based really on a machloikis Mardchai and other Rishonim. But the bottom line is, can you force someone to go Lefnim Meshur HaSadin? Is Lefnim Meshur HaSadin a din d'iraisa, or is it a din d'rabbanan? Some want to say that it could be, it's totally in this whole Tosfos. I mean, it could be this Gerbi Nafkimina Zanalacha. Maybe the Lefnim Meshur HaSadin of Mishlei, Perek Beis, Pasuk Chav of the Gemara, and Daf Pegim Laban Aleph, the Mais with Rabbi Abrachan. It could be that's not going to be something that you can force someone. You can force someone to go Ba'archa Sadikim, to go with the Derech Toivim, but it could be Ashe Yasun, that's a Pasuk in the Torah. That might even be a din d'iraisa. Svara, you have to know, Lamali Kras Svaru, so it's a little bit faplanted, but the bottom line is that at first glance, what's the makar to Lefnim Meshur HaSadin? Off the bat, just from learning Bava Metzia, I would say Ayin Bava Metzia Chavdal Amid Beis, Ayin Bava Metzia Daf Lamin Amid Beis, Ayin Bava Metzia Daf Pegimel Amid Aleph, Ayin Bava Metzia Daf Kufches Amid Aleph. I would also take a look at Tosfos on Daf Chavdal Amid Beis. I'd also look at the Goyin of Mishlei in Perik Beis Pasachav, just to name a few makarim. There's more to talk about on this inyan, but I just want to end with one other ha'ara, and that is, we're all familiar with the beginning of Parshas Chayisara. So in the beginning of Parshas Chayisara, Sara Imenu leaves this world at the age of 127, Kulon Shavim L'Teiva. And Avram Avinu comes from the Akedah Chazal, say, he's Maspid Sara. And then after he's Maspid Sara, he gets busy negotiating and handling a burial plot for Sara. Now, Avraham Avinu knew where he wanted to bury Sarah. He wanted to bury her in Hebron, which is, like the Ramban famously says, the place that all the tzaddikim had a taiva to be buried. That's where Adam Arishan and Chava were buried. And that's where he wanted to bury her. But it belonged to Hebron. It belonged to Ephron, I should say. And he had a handle with Ephron to be able to take possession of it. If you go through the psukim, and we've seen these psukim literally 1,000 times. This is from the first psukim we've ever learned, that's Kleine Kindlech. But if you go through these psukim, there's a little bit of a mystery. The pasuk says, Vayokam Avram me'al p'nei mesay. Avram Avinu gets up from Sarah. Vayidaber al b'nei ches loimer. And he begins to talk to the b'nei ches. And he tells them as follows, Ger v'toyshav anoichi imachem. Rashi says, if you want, I can be a Toisha, but I'm happy to be a Ger. Tnuli achuzas kever imachem. The ekbra meisi milafani. Will you please present me with a kever? I want to bury Macy. I want to bury my wife. Vayanu b'nei cheses Avram leimar. So the b'nei ches, they responded. And they said, Shema'enu adoini. Nisi'ali him ata b'saychenu. B'mifchar k'farenu k'fares meisecha. You pick and choose whichever kever it is you want. You can go and you can bury your mace in that kever. He was very makatoiv and kederech hamakirei toiv, like the Sefarim says. He went and he bowed down to him. And he starts talking to them and he says, "Yeshes nafshechem likbaras mace milfanai shemauni upiguli beEfrem ben Tzaycher." He told me I can get him, pick and choose where I want to bury Sarah. I want to bury Sarah in the plot of Ephraim ben Tzaycher. No. I'm hoping he'll give me the Maras HaMachpelah Ashaloi. Ashebik Tzei Sodeu B'Kesef Moloi Yitnen Oli B'Soichachem L'Achuzes Kev. No, either way, the Pasuk says that Avram is introduced to Ephraim. They start talking, and in the beginning, Ephraim talks a big game, and at the end, Avram Avinu has to pay him Mamish Tab Dollar. Oivel L'Soichem. The Briskerov, as brought down in the Shurim from Shulam David Alevi, asked, if you think about it, why was Avram Avinu handling with the Bnei Ches? Meaning, what exactly was the role of the Bnei Ches? At the end of the day, Avram Avinu knew exactly where he wanted to bury Sarah. He wanted to bury Sarah where? He wanted to bury her in Maras HaMachpelah. Who owned Maras HaMachpelah? Ephron is the one that owned Maras HaMachpelah. So really, who he has to handle with is Ephron, which is who he handles with. So why are the Bnei Ches playing such an important role? Right, Vayedabra Bnei Ches Slem is all over the Bnei Ches, back and forth. This goes all the way to Shani, right? He's very busy with the Bnei Ches. Why is he spending so much time with the Bnei Ches? Right, who cares about the Bnei Ches? At the end of the day, who is he handling with? He wants Ephron. So why is he talking to the Bnei Ches? And the Briskerov mutched very much with this kasha. Who are the Bnei Ches? Like, what is their role in the story? Right, you think they bought from the... Avram didn't buy from the Bnei Ches. He bought from Ephraim. So he started handling with the Bnei... What, he made the introduction? Like, what's going on over here? So Rav Shulam David said that the Briskerov had two mahalchim. The second mahalch that the Briskerov had was that he was worried, Avram Avinu, a little bit, that the Bnei Ches maybe would shter. He was just worried a little bit. So what he did was, v'lochein hischakim Avram Avinu upano lebnei ches bevachkosha shehem yu hishtadlonim b'mechira u'memela alkoponim lo yikalkulu. Like this, at the very least, they're not going to shter. Right, sometimes it's kedai to have somebody on your team, not because you need him, push it so he shouldn't shter. So Avram Avinu was just being a shrewd businessman. And he said, what can go wrong? See, he goes through the entire risk analysis. And he says, how do I know that the bnei ches are not going to chap a little bit? I don't know. They got to come up with some taina, right? Some good old-fashioned anti-Semitic. Do I know? I don't know. I probably don't know. We don't know much about the Bnei Ches. They're from Chiti, I think, right? But the bottom line is, they might come and they're going to have tainas and something is going to happen. And if that's the case, he says, let me neutralize them. You know how I neutralize them? I make them part of the geschäft. I give them COVID. You're part of it. I ask them for advice. Can you introduce me to Ephron? Avram Avinu had to pay a broker's fee. He couldn't go straight to Ephron. He said, why do you have to do this? The terrace is, he got them involved. Push it, Mamela Al Kopotum lo yakalkulu. Brilliant. This is what Maron Akris said. Oh, but the emes is like this. You want to know who asked this kasha? The Rechaim HaKadosh asked this kasha. He asks it off and on. He actually asks it in a pretty dramatic way. The pasuk says, Vayokum Avrami Alpne Mesoi, Vayidaber El Bnei Ches Lemar. Lemar, what does Lemar mean? Vayidaber Hashem Amoisha Lemar, right? All the Niglan, the Nister of Lemar. So why is this a Lemar? Listen to the words of the Arachayim HaKadosh. Oid yirtza losseis tam, lama hutzuch Avram ledabro b'nei ches. Why did Avram Avinu even have to talk to the b'nei ches? Gam laharich kol ha'omur b'inyin. And it's so ba'arichos. V'chim misha ha'yotzarech niknois achuzas kever. I saw the echo, the chorshoi oi l'noitoi. Yitzarech laharim teva v'yoshveh. Right? He says, if somebody wants to bury his wife, he has to be marim tevav. The whole world has to treisel and has to shuckle. Because what? Because Avram Avinu had a baby. You want to bury your wife? Bury your wife. Lemar, you're getting the Bnei Ches involved. He's muching with what the Rav was muching for. But the bottom line is, this is the mucharai here of the Arachayim HaKadosh. Says the Arachayim Adava Nifla. He says, Yesh Loimar, the reason that Avram Avinu was handling with the Bnei Ches, even though he's not looking to buy the property of Bnei Ches, whose property is he looking to buy? He's looking to buy the property of Ephron, is because although Ephron owned the Maras HaMachpelah, but the Bnei Ches owned property next to the Maras HaMachpelah. And as a result, they had a schus of Dina de Bar Metzra. So Poshet, als Dina de Bar Metzra, Avram Avinu went and he handled with the Bnei Ches. He's not handling with the Bnei Ches because he thought he had a handle with the Bnei Ches. He's handling with the Bnei Ches because he held that they had a schus of Dina de Bar Metzra. And als Dina de Bar Metzri, handle with them. And that's why, what did he do first? He went to the Bnei Ches. Is it okay if I buy a piece of bread? B'mivchar kfareinu, no worries. You pick, no one's going to get into it. Can I have that in writing? Boom, done. Now he just neutralized the Dina de Bar Metzri. Now he goes to Ephron, and he goes in and he buys from Ephron. And the Archaim repeats this a few times in his commentary of the story of the Bnei Ches and Ephron and Avram Avinu. And he says, that's why the Pasuk keeps on saying that Avram Avinu bought... How? He bought it le'enei b'nei ches. La'avram le'mikna le'enei b'nei ches. B'chol b'yishari imoy. B'oznei b'nei ches. He wanted that every step of the way. Give the b'nei ches an opportunity. If you want to match it, I understand you have dinah bar metzra. And if you come with a claim of dinah bar metzra, I'm happy to negotiate with you too. But the bottom line is, we want to know the role that the b'nei ches played. The role that the b'nei ches played, Zokta Erechayim HaKadosh, was not stam, they're on the team. Shelo yekalkalu. That's what Maran Agris said. But the Erechayim HaKadosh said they pushed out a schus over here. They had a schus mitzad the din of din of the bar mitzvah. So I just had one hergish. The hergish is the Gemara says in Masechet Avodah Zarah daf chof hey amid aleph. There's a pasuk in Sefer Yeshua that says haloi hi ksuva al sefer hayasha. It's another pasuk in Sefer Shmuel Beis Perek Aleph. It says vayomer lami bnei Yehuda keshes hine ksuva al sefer hayasha. And the Gemara asks, what is sefer hayasha? What's sefer hayasha? Pasha never heard of the sefer. What's sefer hayasha? Says the Gemara tu mahalchen. Amr Rabbi Yochanan says ze Avram Yitzchak v'Yakov. It's referring to the sefer Avram Yitzchak v'Yakov shenikru yesharim. They were called yesharim. Where do you find that Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, the others like Deutschem, were called Yesharim? Shenemar, because Bilam referred to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov as Yesharim. He said, Tomus Nafshi, Mois Yesharim. The next man, Dama, says that Sefer Hayosh is referring to Mishneh Torah. Why is Sefer Hayosh referred to as Mishneh Torah? Because in Mishneh Torah it says, Vasisa Hayosha Vatoy Be'enei Hashem. Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov? That's one pshat in the Gemara. V'asisa hayosha atoy b'enei Hashem. That's the other pshat in the Gemara. But you see one thing. You see from this Gemara that the Avos HaKadoshim, they were referred to as Yesharim. They were the ultimate Gruder righteous people. Incidentally, the Netziv has an incredible psicha to his Hamik Dover, where he talks about why Sefer Bereshis is called Sefer Hayosha. Sefer Bereshis is the Sefer of the Bria, of the Yetzirah, Ayin Ramban. Why is this referred to as Sefer Hayosha? And Befrat Bilam said, Thomas Nafshi, Mois Yesharim, all the kinna that he had from the Avos HaKadoshim, he referred to them as the Yesharim. I understand why he wanted to die the death of the others that are B'misosam Kurim Chayim. That's easy. But the fact that he referred to them as Yesharim, and he says Dvarim Neflam, he says sometimes you have Tzadikim, but they're not Yesharim. And he says that was the sin of Shechinim that caused the destruction of the second base of Mikdash. And the way he describes the sin of Shechinim was they were Tzadikim, but they felt that any person whose Derech and Avodas Hashem was different than their Derech and Avodas Hashem is not a real Oyvein, Roy Lahargoy, and it led Mamish to the point of Sinah, which led to the sin of Shechinim. Some of the things that Netziv said in this Psicha is Umali Mikra Amroy. You wouldn't be able to say. But the bottom line is, he says very, very sharp in terms of why it was that the Avos HaKadoshim were referred to as Yesharim. But the bottom line is, the Avos are referred to as Yesharim. Here you have a real life story with Avram Avinu, who's being so sensitive to Dina de Bar Metzra. And what's the Makar to Dina de Bar Metzra? Says the Gemara above Metzia Kuf Chesam Ar Alef, it's Vasisa Hayosher VeHatoiv. That is the Makar to Dina de Bar Metzra. Here you have the Yesharim of Sefer HaYashar, fulfilling the pshat of the other pshat in Sefer HaYashar. Be mekayim the inyan vasisa vayosher v'atoy. And I just had one hergish. We know Avram Avinu had 10 nesiyonos. Shem Tzadik Yivchon was Avram Avinu, and Avram Avinu had 10 nesiyonos. So if somebody asks you, what was the 10th nesiyon of Avram Avinu? Right? You don't have to list all 10. But what's the 10th nesiyon of Avram Avinu? You'd say the Akedah. That's the pinnacle. Atu Yodati, right? That was the spitz. And the emesis in the Svarim, that is the 10th Nesayin. But it's to do with the Rabbeinu Yoina in his Pirush on Avos, on the Mishnah, Asara Nesayinus, Nesas Avram Avinu. He lists the Nesayinus, and his 10th is Avram Avinu handling with the Bnei Ches and Ephraim in the beginning of Parshas Chayesara. And there were many pulpit rabbis that give beautiful speeches trying to explain and understand why would that be such a big Nesayin number one. And Befrat, after the Nesayin of the Akedah, one hergish that the Velt says is that Avram Avinu could have thought after the Nesayin of the Akedah, Eibishtai proved that I'm loyal. I've proved that I'll do whatever you ask me to do. Can I catch a break? 5 seconds after the Akedah. Avraham Avinu just went through the Akedah. He climbed the top of the mountain. And what happens? His wife died. Machmas the Akedah. He has to start handling with the Bnei Ches and Ephraim. That fadraying in my cup, right? So there's this hergish that Avraham Avinu could say, I thought I proved it. After everything, you give me another nesayin. Sometimes that's the biggest nesayin. Sometimes the biggest nesayin in Amunah is that when a person overcomes a nesayin, and he does it in shining gmamish ways and even flying colors, he has to deal with a nesayin which may be echustik and qualitatively is not on the same level of nesayin. But at the end of the day, the fact that he's dealing with another nesayin after his grace in nesayin sometimes can be bigger than the grace in nesayin, if that makes any sense. But there's another hergish that rabbis say. And that is that Avraham Avinu was having a long, hard day, right? I mean, Avraham Avinu just came back from the Akedah, quite the spiritual whirlwind, and now he comes and he has to bury his wife. And this Ephraim character, his Mamre Chazal, wax poetic, right? He's considered like the worst person in history that anyone have ever had to do business with. So if you want Mamish, exhibit A for the person you don't want to handle with, Ephraim is that guy, right? And Avraham Avinu was handling with him. And yet, Avraham Avinu was oymed in the Nesayin, and he handled him like a mensch. Avraham Avinu, in this moment, in the ultimate matzav of Nesayin, where it was hard, and it would be very easy, bekisai, bekasai, maybe not to behave this way. What did Avraham Avinu do? He behaved as the ultimate yasher. In fact, the whole arichas of the Bnei Ches, the whole arichas of the Bnei Ches, says the Aruch Chaim, is dina de bar metzvah. What's the oimik? So good. So we're making such a big deal about dina de bar metzvah. The oimik is we're making a big deal of Avraham Avinu's hanhog. That his hanhog was to be sensitive to dina de bar metzvah, and not just dina de bar metzvah. I'm Shom Baruch Chaim. He's being sensitive to this whole transaction. He wants to make sure that he's going to walk away with a yasher, despite the fact that he's handling with Dreykov, and despite the fact that he's having a hard day. But Afal Pikin, that's the limud of the beginning of Parashas Chayisar. The limud of the beginning of Parashas Chayisar is the way Yisharim handles it. And Avraham Avinu is a Yashar, and the Torah is going to go and going to be Meirich, Be'ofen HaFloga. Mamish, the whole world, Dreitzachib, Lemar, Lidairis. Lidairis Mamish, like Chazal said, that this is the way you're supposed to handle. Avraham Avinu goes to the Bnei Ches, and he handles with him, Lemar. Lemar, the lesson is that sometimes a person's going through a difficult situation, and sometimes you catch a person in the wrong moment. It's not a teretz. It's not an excuse. Avraham Avinu just came from the Akedah, and he just lost his wife. And Afal Pikein, Avraham Avinu handled like the ultimate yosher, dina de bar metzro, etc., etc. And that maybe is the oimik of the teretz. That's why it's Avraham Avinu's talking to the Bnei Ches, lemer, lemer l'dayres, lemer l'dayres. This is the way a yid has to fear.